Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
My nickname is Gloom.
And inform you in the afternoon.
The people who like licorice really like licorice.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's all right there. Where do you want to start, man?
Well, let's start Brady.
Go, I mean, do it. How do you feel about his comments yesterday?
Okay, I think he's a big baby. That's what I think. Big baby. Like, you've got to be kidding me. Tom Brady doesn't feel appreciated. Oh. Oh, poor Tommy. Oh, what is it that doesn't feel appreciated about? The rings? Or the big house? Or the institute? Or the wife? Or what is it? At the job, Tom? At the job you don't feel? Welcome to the club, pal. Like, the whole world feels that way, for crying out loud. That is hardly out of the ordinary. And the other thing is, shut up. Shut up. I'm telling you, I'm getting so sick of the quarterback, it's not funny. Really. I'm getting so sick of the freaking diva quarterback, it's not funny. What a pain in the ass this guy has become. A colossal pain in the ass.
I don't disagree. The thing I am now curious about is, what does he want? To feel appreciated, what does he want?
Right, so it might be a contract play still.
Well, like, but here's the thing, and we'll play all the sound, and you've heard most of it already too. Is that, you know, he pretty much confirms in this thing that it's 2 years. You know, I've already negotiated 2 years with my wife. He's got 2 years left on his contract, so that, like, that's it. Like, that's the demarcation line. She's not going to allow him to sign a 5-year extension right now. I mean, it doesn't feel that way just based on his comments.
So maybe he wants a bump.
So he's got 2 years left. How's he get a new contract if he has 2 years left on his deal and he's negotiated 2 years with Giselle? If you're the Patriots, why would you give him more?
That's a temporary negotiation, by the way. That just shuts her up for now. 2 years from now, if he's still playing at a high level, you think he's going to shut it down?
No, that's what I'm saying. So, at the time, maybe he can worm his way into more playing. But right now, it's, okay, G, yeah, 2 more years. Get off my back. So he can't sign an extension now, Murray. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but he can redo the deal and have an amendment in that deal, which I think has been the whole time, is that he wants in this new contract, gets ripped up, and all it says in there, or the only new thing in there, is that Guerrero gets to be around at all times, gets to travel with the team, and I can have my trainer whenever I need him.
So that's how he'd feel appreciated? That's his whole thing. He wants to feel appreciated. So what does that mean? What do you want? How can we make it stop? So what do you want?
Well, why take the thing with Giselle at face value? Maybe it's a ruse. Maybe it's a ruse. Maybe it's his way of saying, I'm done in 2 years, and makes the Patriots go to him and say, what? 2 years? We traded Garoppolo. We want a minimum of 3. I thought you said you were playing a 45. What the hell do you mean 2 years? Oh, all right, fine. I mean, well, so what do you guys want to do?
I see.
Like, so maybe that he's,
yeah, maybe.
Maybe he's just using his wife as leverage. And, I mean, because she, you know, she knows what the real story is. The rest of us don't need to. Maybe it's a ruse. I'm tired of it. This guy's a colossal pain in the ass. Shut up already. If you, either that or come right out and say the coach is, you know, I'm having problems with the coach. He's a pain in the ass. They got to do something to take care of me now. Because to me, reading between the lines, you know, I felt a lot of his commentary in this thing was very sort of, you know, subtle digs at Belichick. To me.
Do you have another example?
Yeah, so the one where he talks about, you know, we got to do it together, right? I interpreted that as him projecting onto Bill. Like, that comment is, well, you know, we got to do it together. It takes all of us. And he's taking Belichick's words and shoving them right back in Bill's face. This isn't about you, Bill. So Tom feels big enough now to put himself on the same level as Bill.
There's no question that Tom has reached a place where he feels big enough that he, in his mind, I don't have to take this anymore.
Yeah, he's on equal footing with the coach.
This is enough. You know,
why shouldn't he feel that way at this point in his career?
Enough. Well, because he's the player and that's his boss. I mean, that is the Patriot way. Do your job. You know, the Patriot way is not to say, well, I've been here 18 years and I've done a lot too, so I don't have to listen to you. That's not the Patriot way, is it, Murray?
No, but if I'm
Are you telling me the Patriot way is garbage?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, come on. Okay, fine. Please. We all know that.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, listen, I don't know who I'm talking to. Like, yeah. I'm talking to a footy, you know, a cartel, a footy member or what? You know, I don't know who I'm talking to there. So, right. The Patriots way is garbage. Fine. Okay. So now we're talking like human beings.
Yeah.
Okay. So, because, you know, you talk to some of these Patriots people, it's like, you know, dude, are you even a real person? The Patriot way with this. So, okay. Patriot way. Garbage. So just like any human being who's been in a place 18 years and has accomplished a lot, he's got to a place where his a-hole boss, he's saying, enough of my a-hole boss. That's basically what he's saying.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
And that bugs you, Mass.
It does, because how could he have possibly had it any better here? Now, look, the part that Brady is failing to connect is that the rings and the winning and the recognition, they all come with the package with Bill. Like, that's it. You don't get all the good stuff and none of the bad stuff. That's just the way the world works. You don't get to pick and choose which qualities of another human being you want to keep and which ones you're going to take out. It all comes as one big package with Belichick.
Okay, item number one. Patriots, Brady, the palace queue continues. Two. Celtics, how'd you feel about your green team last night?
Good. Murray, do you want to go first? Because yeah. I kind of launched on Brady.
Oh, I thought this to me was my favorite story of the night was the Celtics. Because that, I mean, outside of the first quarter, I thought that game was never in question. That was, they were undermanned. They were ballsy. The night you got from Rozier, Horford for two straight games, and Jason Tatum looking like a seasoned veteran. It was flat out stunning. Like, I expected them to be competitive. They mostly dominated Philadelphia in that game outside of the first quarter. I thought it was a fantastic win, and now I feel a hell of a lot different about this series. I thought going into it,
I'm sorry, so I just, that's the question. Does game one change your view of the series and where this is headed?
It does.
Typical of you.
Oh, yeah, no, I know, because God forbid there's any nuance on this show.
No,
I know, up and down, flip-flopper Murray, blah, blah, blah.
It is.
Well,
one
because
game and it all
the
changes.
76ers, as dominant as they looked in their first series against the Heat, they're healthy. They have two legitimate superstars in Embiid and Simmons, and as beat up as the Celtics were, I didn't really give them a chance in this series. Now, it's going to go deep. It could go either way, but I feel a hell of a lot better about the Celtics than I did prior to last night's game.
Changes my opinion a little bit, and I'll tell you why, because I'm not sure Philly's as good as I thought they were. And when I say that, you know, they won 16 in a row to end the regular season. I told you, I thought they were a year early. I thought the Celtics defended them well last night, but the Celtics still need to show me they can beat a team on the road. So I think Philly can win a game in Boston. I'm not sure the Celtics can win a game in Philadelphia. And, you know, but to be able to play like they did last night without Brown leads me to believe the series is a hell of a lot closer than I thought.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm sorry not to be too simplistic, but it's just, is anything really proven until you win a road game?
No.
I mean, and so if it's just a home series, then okay, fine. I like your chances there too, but I need to see what kind of series this is first. I mean, if it is just, look, in the NBA playoffs this year, home teams are winning at a 37-11 clip. It's almost an 800 winning percentage. I mean, so it's like, what does that really show you? And oh, certainly the Sixers had a bad night, no question, and the Celtics had a good one. Like, I wouldn't argue that, but I don't know. You were 0-3 on the road against the Bucks, who are a joke. So all the great things that you say about Stevens and his adjustments and the team and da-da-da, and then go to Milwaukee and game and beat the Bucks? So I'm sorry, like, I'm not going to take anything away from last night. I'm just going to tell you, I don't know what you really draw from these series until you get to the road venue and you see if and how it changes.
Well, on that, one of the things that was frustrating about Rozier's night, as great as it was, it's like, dude, you can't do this on the road. Like, his inconsistency drives me crazy, and he is... Like, they even posted his numbers at some point. Like, they're cut in half when he plays on the road.
Stu, did you have a quick...
It's typical, though, Murray, of that kind of player.
Did you have a quick thought there, Stu?
I thought the Celtics were fortunate to win game one last night.
What?
I didn't like the defense on threes, and Philadelphia missed a lot of free throws last night. I think they stole game one, they being the Celtics.
Wow, okay. Well, there's one for you to chew on, green teamers.
I thought they played much better defensively in the Milwaukee series than they did last night.
Well, I thought Phil, and again, I was mostly Bruins because I'm doing like the post-game stuff, so I couldn't do a lot of Celtics.
Sure.
What I did see, the Sixers' defense was a joke.
Horrendous.
I'm like,
horrendous.
I thought that was supposed to be a good defensive team.
No, they lost guys a lot. They lost him a lot. And the Celtics, by the contrary, see, Jimmy, I think the Celtics did do a pretty good job last night.
I don't. I think they left too many three-point shot opportunities, and if the 76ers nailed them, then it's a different ball game, and the Sixers probably win last night.
Yeah, so Philly missed some open ones, but most of them were, you know, there was a guy in the area, and they couldn't get the ball there. And so, again, to me, the way I look at it, it was almost like the Celtics said, Embiid and Simmons can get all the points they want. Get all the points you want. Get them all in the paint. We'll send Simmons to the line all night because he can't make his free throws anyway. Embiid will. But we'll let you get all you want. You guys combined can score 70 points. We're going to guard the other guys on the wing and not let them take threes.
Item number three, the Bruins and the officiating, which I will concede
to the Hockey Krishna who wants to cry about the officiating, I will concede to you it sucked last night. And it was not in your favor. A lot of bad calls. A lot of bad calls, and they all seem to go against you. So I'll concede that. But I'll also say this. Did you deserve to win the game?
No.
Were you the better team? So that's the only time I really feel like officiating should be a real prominent part of a conversation about a game is, did the better team lose because of the call? I mean, really, other than that, does it... I mean, the only thing the officiating did last night was deprive you a chance to steal a game you probably had no business to win. So, I mean, I'll grant you that. It stole you the opportunity. It didn't steal you the win because a Marchand penalty there is at best a penalty shot. Let's say he pots it and you're in overtime or there's whatever, 7 minutes to go. And that doesn't mean you're winning that game. You're tied. So the bad officiating deprived you the opportunity to steal a game. You weren't the better team. You can't claim that the officials cost you the game when you didn't have a shot for the first 14 minutes of the game, when you were outshot for the night, out hit for the night, almost doubled, you couldn't finish a 5-on-3, and continued to have these huge, insane turnovers across the ice, which is becoming a real issue, by the way. A real issue. The amount of times you turn the puck over in bad areas that lead to scoring chances. You can't claim the officials cost you the game when you get outshot, out hit, turn the puck over, can't convert a 5-on-3. And don't have a shot for the first 14, 15 minutes of the game. You can't. I'm sorry. You have no leg to stand on.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger and Mass.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Embiid against Baines at the elbow, takes the jumper over him and hits it.
Think about it, boy. He just gets in that little pocket. And he can knock down that jump shot with ease.
Horford turns on Bellinelli, attacks the paint, two-hand slam, and Al Horford just knocking Sixers all over the place.
It should have been a foul on Al Horford, but hey, they're letting him play.
Simmons inbound. Embiid turns on Smart, launches the three. It was a hope shot, no good, and that'll do it. Marcus Smart got hit again on that hand, and he is hurting. What is left? The Celtics already without Jaylen Brown, and now Marcus Smart looks like he has re-injured himself late in this second quarter. Rozier attacks it to the corner. It's going to be Baines for three, and he got another one.
The big fella knocking them down.
Aaron Baines has now made more threes in 9 playoff games than he made all year. Rebound Horford, lobs it ahead to Tatum. He'll catch up to it, field it on one hop and throw it down with the right hand. And the Celtics come out of the timeout with back-to-back buckets to push it back to 14. Horford straightaway three, got it. I mean, it is ridiculous how well Al Horford is playing so far in the playoffs.
Embiid out there a little late to the play.
Morris pulls up 18-footer, no good. Smart. In traffic, offensive rebound, knocked to the ground as he reverses it up and in.
Yeah, somebody give me a Cheeto sandwich.
He doesn't need two hands. He doesn't need 10 fingers. Marcus Smart is going to make Marcus Smart plays.
I mean, that's against Embiid, the big 7-footer. Compete, young man, just compete.
Rozier dropping on Simmons, falls away off the wrong foot and knocks it down from the free throw line.
Somebody go get some sandwiches and some light bread, because this puppy is over.
We have to clean up quite a bit. They exposed us in a lot of areas. Credit them for that. They run great stuff, and it's hard to guard all those guys and all those actions.
All right, here we go. Right to your reaction. As promised, Jimmy Stewart with the Celtics look. A lot to get to from last night, and we will start with the Celtics call. Jason and Lowell. Go ahead, Jason. What do you got?
What's going on, guys? I called you yesterday, Felger. I got two questions. One for the Mavs for a Red Sox thing, and then Felger for you for Celtics, and then I'll hang up and listen. When is it going to be okay for you to give Stevens any credit for all these players going down? Brown, and then they find other people like Dane. When is anybody going to expect him to hit three? You don't think Stevens made up plays for that? Like, nobody's expecting Baines to hit three. I just want you to say that Stevens is like the sixth man on this Celtics team.
Hold on. Your phone sucks, so if you couldn't hear it out there, Jason and Lowell wants me to say that Stevens is the sixth man for the Celtics. Like, he's the sixth most important piece on the team, or he's... No. So you're saying, Jason, I'd rather...
You're saying Stevens is more important to this team than the sixth man?
No, I don't know. I just want you to give him some credit.
I do. He's a good coach. He's a good coach.
Brown and Kyrie, Horford without Hayward. Like, just give him some credit. But
Jason, just real quick. Do you know what Baines shot from three-point distance during the season?
Yeah, but
what,
I mean,
what? No.
What was it?
What did he shoot?
I don't know exactly what he shot, but he did shoot some threes.
14%.
You didn't know.
14%. Okay, 14%. So the point is, do we give Stevens credit for that, or do we give him credit for Baines for making them?
No. It's Stevens. It's turning to Stevens.
I mean, you really want to be drawing up plays for a guy who shoots 14% from three-point distance?
Look, their game plan again last night against Embiid, nice, right? They just go one-on-one with Embiid, and if he wants to score two-point baskets, give him the two-point baskets.
Absolutely, that's exactly what they did, and they did the same thing with Simmons, basically.
And defend the three, and great, nice little game plan. I give credit to Stevens for coming up with a nice game plan. I'm not going to, you know, make him the sixth man caller until he does that on the road. I mean, you did this in the first round. Oh, Semi Ojeleon, Greek Freak. How do you, wow. That's Stevens, man. Give him credit. Okay, I do, except they were 0-3 in Milwaukee. I'm sorry, hello? What? Excuse me, what? Yeah, that's right. All of his brilliant adjustments and all that stuff when they went to Milwaukee to face a horribly coached team, maybe the worst coached team in the league, the Celts were 0-3. Silence. Sorry. So I'm sorry. Like I it was a good night. The game plan worked. He's a good coach, but I'm sorry. I don't know if it's sixth man or whatever in the NBA playoffs. Give me players and give me home court, and then we can talk about everything else. And coaching is somewhere in that everything else. Players, home court. Sorry. Until you prove otherwise, you start winning games on the road. Then, you know, then we can talk. Then we can talk about something else. Pete in Essex on the Bruins last night. Go ahead, Pete.
All right, Mike, give me a statement, and then I got to follow up with a question. You know, the Bruins definitely did not deserve to win that game, but something has to be said for the fact that they almost did. I mean, you know, they got to be better with the puck. They had 13 giveaways, which is far too many against a team as skilled as Tampa Bay. And then you put on top of that Tampa Bay's 8 takeaways. I mean, you just can't do that. You're not going to survive. But all that being said, you know, that first period was pretty much the best you're going to see out of Tampa Bay, and they walked away tied 1-1 at the end. So there's something to be said about how they stayed in there, but, God, it was bad hockey from the Bruins. The sticks just couldn't hold the puck. But yeah, here's my question, go. Michael. If what Krug did in the first was deemed a slash, why wasn't the call made for Marchand in the third?
Okay, so why wasn't the call? And the calls are the phone quality. Do you ever find, guys, when you are driving your car, listening to our station, that you can't hear the calls?
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Like, I can't. Like, we started 9 years ago, and I went to the programmer, the engineers, and I'm like, I can't hear the phones. I can't hear the phone calls. And so when your phone is even mediocre, there's no shot of people in the car hearing you. So I hate to be rude, but if your phone is mediocre, you can't be heard. For some reason, the way the compression is or the way that where the levels are, you can't hear the phones on our station. It's been that way from day one. Day one. I'm like, you can't hear the calls. Does anyone else notice this?
I just vote no more calls.
Oh, my God. Well, then we have no show.
I co-sign Murray.
Well, I mean, we don't do guests, so we have to do calls. I like popping through calls, but they got to be quick, and I got to be able to hear you. So now, through all that rant, I forgot his question.
The slash.
Of course it was. Of course the last one should be called. The ideally, neither are called.
I see. That's how I feel, but go ahead.
Go.
No. To me, let him go. That Krug one shouldn't have been called.
What a joke.
And the Marchand one, look, he got him on the hand. There's no two ways about it. It wasn't that bad. I mean, you know, he slashed him, but still. So what? It's the NHL playoffs. Fight through it. That's the deal. I just assume they put the whistles away unless you cut someone's hand off.
In the modern NHL, though, the Marchand thing is a penalty.
Absolutely.
And it is almost every time. It really is. It's a penalty shot almost every time. I mean, really, they are pretty consistent about that. And I wonder about, it was the same ref, Kelly Sunderland, however you pronounce his last name. I think it was the same guy in the first period when Marchand got boarded by McDonough. And bad, right? I mean, he got walloped from behind. It was obvious. down in the corner, and Sutherland's standing right there. He's looking at it. It was the ref at mid-ice who put up his arm. And I think it was the same ref on that Marchand breakaway. And I just wonder about the Sutherland guy. And I say, does he got a Marchand problem? And if he does, I would say, well, there you go. Goes around, comes around. You're a flopper. Maybe Marchand's gotten Sutherland on a flop before. Maybe he got Sutherland to wave, you know, put up his arm, call a penalty. They go back and look at the tape, and Marchand dove. And Sutherland says, I'm not going to, you know, take the banana in the tailpipe anymore from this guy. Or maybe Marchand just doesn't get any break from the officials, period, because he's Marchand. And now we're back to that thing. I mean, I think that's a real possibility. The refereeing was bad last night. The refereeing was bad. But you weren't the better team either. So I don't want to hear it. Here's Dean in the car on the Patriots. Hi, Dean.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Well, do you think that Belichick has lost the team? I mean, after
no.
the Super Bowl decisions that he's made, the exodus of quality players that have bled red, white, and blue, Patriot colors, just walking away, and now your players actually being obstinate. What Brady's doing right now is the antithesis of what he's done for 18 years. Not showing up for OTAs, holding out, going to get what he wants.
So, Dean, what other indication do you have that Bill's lost the team?
I think that his decision at the end of the year to not win that game, putting his pride in front of the decisions that he played, the decisions he made against the defense, really set the team against him.
Okay, but I'm not going to ask you again because you're not going to answer. What indication has anyone seen of that?
Well, so the only one we came up with was that Miami game, right?
Okay, that was way before the Butler thing.
Yeah,
so the caller said the Butler thing set the team against him. What indications of mass revolt have we seen?
You mean on the field?
Well, I mean, we have no on-field indication. The only thing we have is when Malcolm Butler put out that Instagram post, I didn't do anything wrong. He got supported by, you know, several teammates. But certainly not the whole team, not even half the team.
You know, no, that Bills road game is about the only thing you can make
he said the Butler decision in the Super Bowl set the team against him. The Buffalo thing was before that. So what indication since the Super Bowl have we seen of a mass revolt?
We haven't.
So why do people keep saying that there's a mass revolt?
I don't know. Maybe it's wishful thinking.
Or it's just sort of a cliche thing to say.
Amendola's comments to Mike Reese, but I mean...
Maybe, okay, so there's one. So that's, but I mean, I just think the quarterback has a thing with the coach. I think the quarterback and a few of his guys, Gronkowski, Amendola, Edelman, you know, Mr. Miyagi, just pliabilities, durability, whatever. Like, maybe that little group has a thing with Bill and the training regimen. But I don't know. I haven't seen a team revolt yet.
No, team revolt would mean that nobody showed up for any of these workouts a couple of weeks ago.
Revolt's too strong. I mean, you know, but it is more than one guy. I mean, so I don't know if you define that as mass or not, but it is more than one guy.
It's just, I don't know. You know, he's lost the locker room. I don't know. Maybe he has. I just haven't seen that yet. I think what will be interesting this year, Maz.
He's lost fans is what he's lost.
Fans are aggravated with Belichick, no question. He's lost Brady for now. Let's see if they get off to another one of their 2-2, 1-2. You know, September is generally a scratchy month for them, right? Like, they're still working things out, and all their losses, bad losses, seems to come in September, right? The first 4 to 6 weeks of the year. What if they get off to another 2-2 start? Like, what if they suffer another one? Like, every other time, the players are always there to, you know, work their way through it. Will Bill have a tougher time this year if he gets off to a slow start?
Yes, absolutely he will. Absolutely he will. I mean, to me, there'll be more this. Whenever there are cracks in there like this, whether it stems from the Guerrero thing or whatever, but whenever there are cracks, when things go bad, it gets uncomfortable. And those, that's when those cracks are going to show.
Murray.
So they need to get off to a good start. I think that is a fact.
Sorry, Anthony. Here's an update from Murray, and back with more.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I like anti-coupon. Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 Sports Hub.
It's a palace cue.
A mutiny. A cue.
You thought it was over and that we were making it all up. But listen to this, all you doubting assholes. Tom Brady still pissed.
Do you feel appreciated by them, and do they have the appropriate gratitude for what you have achieved?
I plead the fifth.
A mutiny, a coup.
Brady won't even say whether he's happy or not, because he still hates Belichick.
Are you happy?
I have my moments.
A mutiny, a cue.
And Brady's still mad that Bill benched Malcolm Butler in Super Bowl 52.
Malcolm kept coming over to me during games like, come on, TB, let's go, you know? And I kept going, what defense are we in where Malcolm's not on the field?
It's a palace cue.
A mutiny, a cue with the Patriots, a coup.
I kept asking, what defense are we in where Malcolm Butler isn't on the field?
Translation, this doesn't even make any sense. Why isn't he out there helping us win another Super Bowl?
Oh, I thought that was a great shot.
Belichick's going to be out of his mind over this.
He did it to himself on that one.
He did, but for Brady to say it.
Openly say, what defense are we in where he's not on the field?
And Brady Murray. Brady.
Yeah, this good. Good, because if I'm him, I'm the greatest quarterback of all time. You cost me another one.
Okay, so again, listen, I'm not telling you you're wrong. I'm just telling you that the magnitude of him saying that can't be overlooked. Given the relationship, given the history, like Malcolm Butler goes on a plane, tweets out something about the kind of defense they play, and we go bananas. Malcolm Butler! Tom Brady leaves audio? Tom Brady.
What kind of defense? Oh, I just love that line. Jimmy, could you play number four that I gave you, just the full Malcolm Butler stuff? My cut number four, Tom Brady, on the whole Malcolm Butler thing.
Do you know why Malcolm Butler didn't play?
Can you stop for a second? Like, why is this like a sitcom? Like, why is that such a funny thing for the...
Oh no, because his facial expression was like, I don't want to answer this.
Well, because everyone understood that it was an issue, and they're like putting him on the spot
at Michael Milken greed is good. Like, this is one of the true evil characters of finance of this generation. Like, the places Brady goes, like, that's a whole nother story we can get to. The Milken greed is good global conference. Now, he's a big advocate for colon cancer, I think, and what's, I don't mean to besmirch that, but anyway. So Brady at this, like, why it's like a comedy routine. It was just a question about Malcolm Butler, and everyone starts breaking up laughing.
Hey, Tom, Coach really botched that Super Bowl, eh?
There we go.
It's what all of you want to know. You can moan and groan all you want. They want to know the answer to that.
Yeah. Well, I don't make the decisions.
Mamby-pamby.
I'm telling you the truth. You know, I wish you would have played, but, you know, the coach decided not to play him.
Stop. I wish you would have played. I wish you would have played. How about do your job, don't worry about anybody else, ignore the noise, and just do your job. You're worried about other people's playing time now? How do you think Bill feels about players talking about other players' playing time?
See, this is what I mean. The mere fact that he's engaging on the topic.
It's a palace cue.
Like, you don't think it's satisfying, though?
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't say that. No, Mark, I didn't say that. I'm sure it is satisfying. Terribly. I mean, and on some level, Belichick deserves it for being a dink. Okay? Like, on some level. But it's not how they operate down there. It's not. Shut your mouth. Do your job. Don't second guess anything I say or do. Okay? And he's doing, again, he's leaving a trail now on top of it.
Go ahead. Finish the cut, Jim.
I wish you would have played, but, you know, the coach decided not to play him, and, you know, we still had a chance to win. How do I look at that?
Do you know why he didn't play, though? Seems to be a major mystery here.
I haven't gone and discussed those things. Do you know why he didn't play? You like to tell me?
I don't have access that you do.
Yeah, well, I don't ask. Malcolm kept coming over to me during games. He's like, come on, TB, let's go, you know? And I kept going, what defense are we in where Malcolm's not on the field?
Oh, I love that line. What defense could we possibly be in where he's not on the field? Oh, God.
Because he plays 100% of the snaps.
But I do, you know, he says, I haven't gone in to ask those questions. I wonder if Brady's even done his exit interview. Like, has he talked to anyone?
Well, they had a meeting,
though,
right?
Oh, that's right. I guess they said they did.
So I just think he means I didn't ask the questions.
Yeah, right.
I didn't ask. No, but I'll discuss them publicly with you. I won't ask Bill to his face, but I'll happily second guess him publicly with you. Like, again, all I'm saying, Murray, is, again, Belichick.
Yeah, it's always been chain of command and nobody
Belichick's
talks
Belichick's out of his mind over this. Trust me, he's out of his mind. He's losing his marbles over this. He's going crazy.
With this one decision, you reap what you sow. With the most important player on the team.
Oh, my God. Bill must be, like, throwing stuff and kicking stuff. He must be pissed at this. He's got to be pissed. Gotta be.
And I kept going, what defense are we in where Malcolm's not on the field?
Oh, that's great. Great. Let's start calling out the coaches for what defense is this again? And
I wish you would have played, but, you know, the coach decided not to play him. And
Bill loves it when players...
And I kept going, what defense are we in where Malcolm's not on the field?
Bill loves it when players come up publicly and say, why didn't that other guy play? And what was the call again that we had that this guy was on the bench? Bill loves that stuff.
I wish you would have played, but, you know, the coach decided not to play him. And
I mean, again, Adelius Thomas, go ask Bill. He has all the answers. Right, like that's the kind of stuff Adelius Thomas says.
Long commercial-free segment. We get back to this. The Celtics, good night. The Bruins, bad night. All with you. Don't go anywhere.
And I kept going, what defense are we in where Malcolm's not on the field?
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is into the right corner. He's 1-on-4. We got a chop.
Yeah, it's going to be a chop on Krug.
It looked like from the replay we had that Krug chopped him on the knee. Not hard.
Posse's feet. Gord! Score! Yanni Gord! Power play goal for the Lightning. It's 1-0.
That's a big, big goal.
Pasternak shoots, and it goes off the post.
And then Hedman cleared it just before Marchand could get to it.
Marchand wheels in around a check to the far circle. It's centered. McAvoy shoots. He scores!
High slot Johnson. Shoots! Score! Score! Johnson said, you want to knock me down? No called interference. No problem. I'm still going to stick it in your net. 2-1 Lightning!
And Bergeron able to win it. High slot. We got a penalty here on the Bruins.
It's going to go to Pasternak.
4-minute minor, but it was his own stick.
And the shaft of Hedman's stick got him, hit him under the shield.
Let's look at Pallad. Score!
Pallad! The Bruins put it back into their own end! Otherwise, it would have been offside.
They score off the drop. And Krug was the guy who fired it in. Up the middle, here's Marchand with a step into the slot. He got pawed at. No call.
Stroman just hacked the hand of Brad Marchand on that breakaway. Caught him on the lower hand as he's coming in there.
Point out to center ice. Point to the red line. Shoots it toward the open net. Score! 4 points for Braden Point. Wow. And it's 4-2 Lightning with 25.2 seconds left.
Obviously, we were able to finish better game one. They started really well tonight. Clearly, we're the better team the first 10 minutes. You know, our goaltender held us in.
A slash up around the hands, I mean, that's automatic.
Hey, that Bruins loss, obviously, one of the items on the board. I didn't let you guys talk in the first segment on the Bs. You got a quick thought before I go back to the phones on that game last night?
Just real quick for me, I mean, it was blatantly obvious how much more physical the Lightning were from game one into this one. I mean, they mostly pushed the Bruins around, and it's been everyone else's complaint, and I'll pile on, get it out of your own zone, and enough with the stupid turnovers. That was an issue in the first game. They were lucky enough to have Rask play mostly out of his mind to keep him in it, and outside of his terrible second goal that he gave up, he did again last night. But the turnovers and how stuck they are in their own zone, it's going to kill them if they don't clean that up.
Tampa, to me, played like a team that had no intention of coming north down 0-2, and the Bruins played like a team that was happy to get one in Tampa and come back. That's what it felt like to me. So I wasn't terribly surprised by it, but, you know, to me, Tampa was all over them. The Bruins had, what, 20 shots? 20.
Shots were 31-20. That's right.
I mean, that's a joke.
And what, the first 15 minutes of the game, 14-02, I think, to be exact.
Zero.
Zero.
Zip.
And you know what? They had a couple two-on-ones. So there's even a thing where there's a lot of times you just say, shoot the puck. But then there's a lot of times they're shooting the puck that they're missing the net. Like, make this guy make a save, for God's sakes.
Yeah, and I think he's beatable. I don't think all that much of Vasilevskiy. I'm not telling you he sucks. I just don't think he's great. And that goal he gave up to Krug?
Oh,
that's a softie. If they're going to he wanted to let the Bruins back in the game with that. So, to me, if the Bruins put forth any kind of representative effort in the offensive zone and generate pressure, they will score in this series.
The hits, as you mentioned, Murray, 42-24. And, you know, a lot of times those hit stats in the hockey are tough to gauge because it's different scoring and different... and sometimes it's not a bad sign. It means that one team has the puck a lot. You know, when you're out hit, that means you possess the puck and there's more chances for you to be hit. So sometimes that stat can be misleading is what I'm saying. This time, not. 42-24, you were getting throttled all over the ice. So, yep, they came to play, and the giveaways, it's been an issue that you've survived, but now it's starting to add up a little bit.
I mean, Marchand's that led to that third goal my God. Was, I mean, that's inexcusable.
Come on. Seriously, I agree.
You know what? McAvoy had one right before that that was horrendous, too, out of the corner.
And Rass saved his ass.
He did. Rass made a big stop, but that was awful. It's an awful turnover.
Okay, so Bruins thoughts, Brady thoughts, Celtics thoughts. Up to you, Jason in New Hampshire on the Bees.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
What'd you think about Hedman smashing himself in the head with his own stick last night? They clearly show, you know, that he gets a stick lifted. He knocks himself basically out. He's bleeding. And you still got a 4-minute penalty on that. I thought the Bruins could have taken advantage of 4 minutes of 5-on-5 on that. I wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I think that. See, that one I just consider a bad break. In real time.
You can understand how he fell for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I felt the same way.
I mean, it
should be reviewable.
I mean, Hammond didn't mean to do it. And now that leads to, well, you could just easily replay it and correct it, except I don't want it, you know, enough replay. Like, you know how I feel. Like, it's got to go the other way. We have to have less replay, not more. So, no, I don't want them to be able to replay penalties. That was just a bad break. That's just a bad break. In real time, it looked like Pastrnak got him. You could only see it on slow motion instant replay. And I don't blame the refs on that. Like, that's going to happen. That's just one of those, that's buzzard's luck.
No, it is funny, though. I mean, he lifted his stick and he went.
I mean, the wailing around, you know, the rolling around on the ground, buying the call, and then he's out there to start the power play and probably, you know, plays 3 minutes of it. Like, you're fine, dude. You're fine. But then again, when you employ Brad Marchand, you can't really complain about this stuff now, can you? You can't pretend like, how dare you do that? You're bad for the game. No. You got the worst guy in the league at this stuff. So, again, what goes around comes around on that.
Now, look, they did kill it, but it's a fair point. You know, that's 4 minutes of the game you lost where you're just on your heels trying to survive.
We've got David Lowell on the Brady interview. Hi, David.
Hey, Mike. Thanks. I heard the Brady interview, and a question really that was asked in Brady answer really ticked me off, and that was a question where they asked if Brady felt appreciated, and Brady, what did he say? He said he was going to take the fifth.
Yep, he'll take
like
the fifth. Yep.
Now, here's a guy that's admired by millions of people around the country and probably around the world. He's married to a supermodel, got a gazillion dollars, good looks, talent, and everything. And he's sitting on the stage saying, oh, poor me, I don't feel appreciated. Made me lose a lot of respect. I don't know if I can ever start liking the guy again as a human being.
Okay, you will. You will after he throws for 4 touchdowns in week one. You'll be right back. However, I think all these guys have sort of hurt themselves a little bit in the course of public opinion.
Gronk did.
In the court of public opinion, I mean to say. Well, I mean, all of them. Belichick really hurt himself with the Butler decision. Gronk really hurt himself with some of the shenanigans so far this offseason. And Brady with this act is sort of, that's bugging, obviously, by that caller. I mean, he's not alone.
The Brady comment really is unbelievable. I mean, for a guy that is as cautious as he is, to sit there and say, in front of people in an interview, a public interview, that he doesn't feel appreciated. Again, Belichick must have freaking gone right through the ceiling when he heard that one. Like, you've got to be kidding me.
Cam and Taunton, give me a Celtics take.
Mike, I mean, I think you were kind of going overboard with the Brad Stevens bashing, but I do want to see.
Well, hold on, how did I bash him?
Well, I mean, you think that he didn't get
any. Now, how's that phone going to work?
That's one of our better callers,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he is.
No,
yeah,
no, that was.
Mike, I just want to get at you for the Brad Stevens bashing. I just don't understand. What happened, Cam?
No, that might have been. I think he took the phone and I think he. I think he sat on it.
Chief Broom came in with the pillow.
I think he flushed it.
I swear to God, I the first week we were on the air, I said to the CBS radio people, like, what the calls here don't sound right when I'm listening to them in the car. Can we look at this? No, it's fine. No, I said, no, does anyone else notice this? And even today, so 9 years later, it's still the same. So I'm going to ask the Beasley people, like, listen to it. Listen to the levels of the talk show hosts and then listen to the calls. The calls are much, much lower. You've got to, like, turn up your radio to hear the calls and then turn down the radio when the host starts talking and then turn up the radio to hear the calls. Pay attention to that. And this show is dependent on calls. So, like, that's a big one for us. You can tell it aggravates me. Yes, Jimmy, go ahead.
So we have a device in place that was put in maybe about 2 years ago that makes sure that there is better balance, but when the host talks over the caller is faded down.
So this is why we try not to engage the caller, Maz. You talk, I talk, and then we hang up on
you. No, wait a minute. When we talk, the caller goes down? Is that what you said, Jimmy? Yeah.
That is correct.
Then we need to talk over them more. That's the way I look at it.
This is Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.